same tweet. All right. Iran and the White House have two things in common. They both support Prime Minister Maliki's government in Iran. Now, let me stop here and tell you something about Shiism and what happened in the past. Iran was a Sunni country. Minority of Shia in the city of Qom, Sabzawar, and a few other cities. Shiification of Iran started in 1501, but you Turkic tribes, Iranian Turkic tribes. And in 1 or 2 decades, Shiification was complete. If you look at the map of Iran, you see Sunnis living in the border. In the far northeast, far northwest, because those were the centers far away from the fierce fighting forces of Ismail I. And they did that because they needed an umbrella ideology, umbrella in order to save Iran from two fierce Sunni empires. One called Shaybani Empire to the northeast, one Ottoman Empire to the northwest. Since Iran became a Shia, all of the kings of Iran, they called themselves king of all the Shia. Iran is the center of Shia. Iran, Shiaism, Iran is the only Shia country in the world, and there are reasons that I don't have time to explain that to you. However, there were wars fought for possession of holy cities of Karbala and Najaf between Iranian forces and Ottoman Empire. So Iranians have been looking into places, at holy places, and all these beautiful domes and the golden gates and all those ornamental things you see mostly come from Iran. The kings of Iran, they got to be identified with imams. And most of them died, they had to, they just wanted to be buried near the holy shrines. So Iran always wanted to have influence in Iraq. And as I said, great battles were fought for position of the city. And then Soviet Union collapsed, and Saddam Hussein collapsed, and the Taliban, this created some sort of a defensive fear and offensive opportunity for the mullahs of Iran to stretch their hand. Actually, talking about Saddam Hussein, to pave the way for the mullahs to stretch their hands. I remember forming a government in exile to take over Iraq. So I really do not believe the mullahs of Iran gave one the first democratic, independent government in Iraq. So we say both of us, with the United States and Iran, they both like Mr. Maliki very much. This is not true. It might be even true for a short period of time, but what they have in the back, they have their own strategic plans. So I talked about that later. So this is the first thing I was going to make about us and then the Iraq Maliki very much. And then they both fear the station version of Al-Qaeda and other Sunni extremists from Iraq in Iraq. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. To that I would say not necessarily. The enemy of my enemy could be my worst enemy. Giving example, Mr. Ben Laden himself. He was a friend, fighting enemy, and now he is the greatest enemy of the United States. When he did attack Russia, he was an enemy fighting enemy, but he was no friend of the United States. So these are really semantical fallacies. Enemy of enemy, my friend. Is my friend? That's not true. So we go further. First point. But this administration seems to be missing an incredible opportunity. When America finally leaves Iraq, Iran will be the number one enemy of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. We should be working together. Let me tell you something about Islamic Brotherhood. Iran, because they are Shia, they don't like Al-Qaeda, but they're Sunni. But when it comes to Great Satan, they will be brothers. So this is a wrong presumption that Iranians don't like Al-Qaeda, we don't like Al-Qaeda, so we are in the same boat. No, that's not the case. That's not the case, believe me. Because they have started something called asymmetric war with the United States asymmetric war means bothering the United States to any means they can, terrorism or anything else, just enough to drop this country out of the Middle East and Persian Gulf without passing the threshold that would trigger an American military response. And they couldn't do it with Al-Qaeda altogether. And let me tell you something. I talked about Takeda. Mullahs are different species. You cannot trust the Mullah because he would talk to you, make a deal if situation permits, as soon as time passes by, another situation permits, his interest will do something else. There is no moral value with these Mullahs. You know Mullahs very well. Shul Khayyam, Nasser Khosrow, Greg Hoffman, even Maulana, and all of that, they suffered from hypocrisy of Mullahs, and there is volumes and volumes of literature talking about Mullahs. So this is not the case. They could not be trusted. So this is wrong. I think the first reason is not valid. We do respect. And then we go to the second one. Of course, we don't have much time. 25 minutes is not enough. I have so much evidence is here, actually, and I'm used to talk 2 hours, so 25 minutes for me. Okay. Having been in Iran and having followed global opinion polls closely, I can say without reservation that Iran has one of the most friendly populations in the United States. That's true. I agree with that. Iranian, they love Americans. Especially the situation got bad, the economy, the nostalgia of Shah's term, because Shah was always identified with America, brought back the nostalgia of America. That's true, it's still there. Okay? I agree with that. Okay, secondly, the most pro-American in the Muslim Middle East. That's right. Mr. Gonzalez is right in that point. Needless to say, this support is not unconditional. While United States speak of the United States as a land of freedom, American bombs fell from the sky would change that overnight. I tend to disagree with that. I have to give you a historical background at this point. Iran has 2,500 years of history, maybe 2,700 years of history of government. Big country. Every village isolated and self-sufficient. We never had any big navigable lakes or rivers, so people were not mobile. So nationalism, as we understand it today, didn't exist in Iran. You can hardly say it exists today. So when a new regime came to power, they had initiative, ingenuity, to respond to the need of people they supported. But the time passed by, and you have heard the absolute power corrupts absolutely, but all this absolute power was in the hand of monarchs, people started to get unhappy. But they could never unite and get rid of the government themselves. What they did was waited until the foreign enemy shows up in the border. Then they did not have the government. When you read the history, actually, Plutarch, Herodotus, Every great formidable historian, it is amazing to see how Alexander with 12,000 to 20,000 Macedonian comes and takes over such a big empire without any resistance. And King Darius III fell at the battlefield and was killed by an Iranian. No resistance against Alexander. People will greet Alexander with pleasure. Few centuries later, a few Arabs came to our border. They said between 6,000 to 10,000 Arabs came. The Iranian general found out that they killed Arabs, they killed the enemies, but the numbers were increasing because the Iranians themselves were helping Arabs. They didn't die. The system then was very corrupted, very repressive. So, 6,000 to 15,000 Arabs came to this country and took over in 28 years. The conquest of Iran was completed. Genghis Khan came, same thing happened. So this is wrong to say that as soon as one American bomb falls, all the Iranians will regroup behind the Mullahs. Why should they do that? that 40% people under poverty line, unemployment high. Things that these mullahs have done, I have never in any history of any Turkey. Raping young girls, 7-year-old girls, to extract information from her mom. Raping dead bodies as a matter of policy. You can do that. 12,000 people got executed in 3-4 days after Khomeini said, get rid of enemy of Islam. People know that. People are very unhappy. From what I know,